all of my flow is really focused on a week-to-week basis.
I'd like to welcome Matt Ragland to the Productivities Podcast. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Mike, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I've been a listener and a fan and a follower for a long time, so it's an honor for me.
Well, thanks, man. And I've been a big fan of your work, too, and the evolution of what you've been doing in this space is the great thing about the productivity and time management space is that there's lots of room in the pool. You know, like everybody's voices, I think, can
agree.
You know what I mean? And one of the things that I've been spending a lot of time with is the idea of apps. And for many years, when I first started, it was all about the apps, mainly because I started working for Cult of Mac and things like that. So people were like, "Oh, Mike's the app guy." And when you release the stickers, which I'll link to, you know, they get the head out of your apps.
Right.
Number one, brilliant. Number two, speaking my language. So let's talk there first, because it'll weed out those that are listening. Although many people listen to the show know that, you know, if I end up asking someone, so tell me a bit about the apps you use, that they know that the interview's gone south pretty quickly. what led you to that kind of moment of saying, you know what, let's get our heads out of our apps?
Sure. Yeah. The thing for me was I just noticed how much more focused and productive I was able to be when planning in a notebook, in some kind of a journal. So I use the bullet journal. My customization of the bullet journal method to do the majority of my daily planning and logging, weekly planning and reflection. And for me, I have, you know, probably like a lot of people, and I would say that for the most part, I don't have anything against apps themselves, but I always found that I couldn't quite, for many of them, couldn't quite customize them to my liking. And with something that's pen and paper, I can make any changes, I can make any updates, I can make it as little or as much as I need to. And so that was the big thing for me at starting it. And the other piece was, as much as I talk about like not using apps a ton, part of that is just because of, I know my own propensity to be distracted. not even just by like, say, the productivity app itself, like I've used a ton over the years, but it's getting distracted on the way to, like, literally on the way to the app.
Right.
And like not even making it there, or being like distracted by a notification or a push or like some other kind of thing, or just like a thought of like, you know, even if I'm switching from one app to the other, I may glance at something else and be like, well, you know, yay for me, I might as well check on Instagram right now. And then like 15 minutes later. So 15 minutes later is probably a good estimation. Mm-hmm. But I started to become more aware of my own, like, just in some ways, you know, I think a lot of us in the productivity space gonna get like championed as, you know, these lions of focus and attention and willpower.
Don't wreck the myth, yeah, man. Don't wreck the myth.
Yeah. for me, not to wreck it too much, but I like became so aware of like my inability to, you know, really withstand the like designed pressure of really smart people designing apps that to hook me into them. Mm-hmm. That was like, you know, when I need to plan something out, when I need to think through a problem, brainstorm a project, anything like that, I do so much better on paper than I do in an app.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I was so hesitant to get into Notion. It wasn't because I didn't think there was value there. It was there. I already have an app that kind of does that in a blank sheet of paper or a notebook or something like that. Like, I think that there's now again, you and I both, you just stated, I'll say the same, apps are great, you know, but you know, if you go into an app with, and Notion would be a great example, Evernote would be a predecessor to that. If you just try to put everything in there without a framework, good luck. Like, you know, I mean, and the thing about an app, again, like Evernote or Notion, if you try to do the wrong things inside of it or what it's not necessarily designed to do well, then that's going to cause friction too. So I'm a bit of a hybrid guy myself. Like I have my stuff in my digital tools, right? But when I look at my day, the night before, so when I'm doing my evening routine, I will pull stuff out of the digital app and put it on my, you know, in my daily plan, my weekly plan, those kind of things,
right,
so that I don't get disrupted or distracted. Because I think there's value, and you even indicated that. I think getting your head out of your apps means go in, get what you need if you're using an app, but don't let it guide you, you know, to the point where it's guiding down the wrong path. Make sure that you've set it up so that when it does have the propensity to pull you in a direction you don't want to go, that you have a quick way to get out of that, so that way you can, no Asana, no,
right,
you know, Todoist.
Right.
I set you up this way. I have a filtration setup that says Tuesday filter. I click on that, and that's what I'm supposed to do. And I have some selection inside of there. But by and large, like you need to lay the groundwork first, which is what you would need to do in a bullet journal anyway. So there's no, I mean, the same principles apply to both. Just one's happened to be digital, one happens to be paper.
Yep, absolutely. And I think for me, one of the other things that, because I do the same thing, and I get comments or emails from people all the time, or like asking, like, well, you know, do you still use any digital apps at all? Because like the name of my YouTube channel is, you know, basically Bullet Journal Guy. And so
yep.
Get a lot of pushback sometimes on, you know, what kind of digital apps are you still using? Do you use those at all? Or like I did a couple of them were funny comments, but you mentioned the get your head out of your app sticker. When I did a YouTube video promoting that, I showed like how I
know, I remember that,
designed it. I was like, come on, what do you expect me to do? Like,
yeah,
hand draw it, send it through the mail lovingly. I was like, no, I can have an idea and I can have a sticker within a week. And that is a really cool use of like being able to have an app. Now, I have something else like I can share with the, sure, audience as well. But because this is a really common question that I get, is that I have two different kind of like methods or frameworks or whatever you want to call them for like deciding what goes in a analog offline tool like the bullet journal, and then what goes into digital online tools like, say, Notion, Asana, Trello, Evernote, anything like that.
Let's go down that path for sure, because I think that a lot of people, they get stuck. It's weird. They get stuck within the app. They get stuck, mm-hmm, leading up to the app. And then they're like, okay, I want to move to paper. How do I do that?
Right. Right. So for me, the acronym for the analog is CAMP, CAMP. And that stands for collect, axe, migrate, and plan. So I'll use like, whether it's a bullet journal or like a little like field notes, pocket memo book or notebook, to really try and collect any ideas or notes that I have throughout the day. And then at the end of the day or the beginning of the next day, I'll go through it and be like, okay, you know, what are the things that I can just take care of? What just needs to be deleted or axed? And then the M part is for migrate. So what needs to be migrated either to the next day, but even migrated over to a digital online tool. And then the P, of course, stands for plan, which I've already talked about, that the majority of my day-to-day, weekly, monthly planning and brainstorming all happens in an analog tool like the bullet journal.
So let's talk a bit about the idea of the bullet journal, because I've had Ryder on the show a couple of times. We've had a chance to chat. I've got, you know, I've, as this episode has aired, one of my 2 weeks notice series on my YouTube channel has me bullet journaling and exploring it for 20 hours. You mentioned you modified it, you adapted it. And I think that that's, right, one of the strengths of using paper anyway. But when people, right, I think one of the things that happens both with apps and with processes in general, getting things done would be a good example, is, mm-hmm, the feeling that you need to do it the way it's prescribed.
Right.
How did you get past that? Because I know that you don't do it this, like, 'cause it's hard. I mean,
it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, and what's even harder sometimes, yeah, just between me and you and all the listeners, is that it's tough to like even recommend modifications to people sometimes.
Right.
Because even though a, say, very rigid framework can be tough to get past because we're like, oh, you know, there's something about my life that doesn't quite fit this. But at the same time, when like I tell people on YouTube videos or in emails, I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't mean that your life completely fits the like the, say, rigid, maybe rigid advice that you feel like I'm giving. You can modify it. And they're like, well, how do I do that? Yeah. And so it's just coming back to the same question. And for me, the biggest kind of flaw, not even flaw, if you're listening, Ryder, not flaw, but the thing that I struggled the most in terms of like the bullet journal method. First of all, I'm a terrible index keeper, just top-notch awful index keeper. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, probably the most consistent thing that I struggled with, was the rapid logging and kind of the lack of even any kind of daily or weekly structure. Because I would find that even though I don't plan too far in advance for a lot of things, especially on like an agenda perspective, like a week or two at the most, I still like, it made it hard for me to like kind of plan out and block time for a week's agenda and items. If it was just like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep this Monday rapid log going until it's over. And then I'll like kind of move things over into Tuesday when, let's say, I already know on Tuesday I have this meeting, I have this project due. I want to make sure that I have time blocked out to work on that other project. And so what I ended up doing, and I did this, just in whether it's a Leuchtturm and the branded bullet journal, yep. I use Baron Fig products a lot, is that I'll divide the page into two halves. And then it'll be like, Monday, two. So across like a two-page spread, it would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and the next page would be, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, kind of split into the bottom of the weekend there. And that at least gives me, because I've known, like I've done this for years now, I know that on most days, a half a page is about all I need. Like right. if I'm trying to put too much, I would say more than like three or four, maybe five core tasks into a day, they're just not going to get done anyway. So again, like you, when I go into that weekly preview on over the weekend or first thing Monday morning, then I'm kind of looking at it and say like, okay, here is the project or objectives that I have for the week. These are like the just get them done tasks that I have. And I can kind of proactively schedule them and write them into those like daily halves that I have set up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm still doing like a rapid log and agenda inside of the, like inside of those like daily sections. But that was the biggest thing that I did, is I broke up each week into these daily sections instead of it just being more of a flowing, like Monday may only take up five or six lines, Tuesday takes up 10 lines, and you just kind of keep going from there. I needed a little bit more structure than that in order to like effectively plan out my week. I also didn't like at all intermingling like bullets and events. Was like way too messy for me and made it hard to see like when my like actual meetings mm-hmm. and agenda items were. Yeah. And so what I do is like on like each daily section, the top three or four lines are reserved for like, yep, agenda items, meetings, like things that have to be done at a specific time. And then the rest of that half page is available for tasks, reminders, and like a couple of small notes.
Okay, we're going to take a break from the conversation, but when we come back, Matt's going to talk about his views on New Year's resolutions and annual events. He's also going to talk about how he keeps the flow of his day moving in a paper planner. And we're going to dig into how journaling looks for Matt, because you know how big a deal that is for me. But first, I want to talk about another kind of big deal. When running a business, HR issues can absolutely kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries, they aren't cheap. They cost an average of $70,000 a year. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month-to-month, no hidden fees, and you can cancel at any time. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit with Bambi today. So go to Bambi.com/timecrafting right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/timecrafting. That's Bambi spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/timecrafting. Head to Bambi.com/timecrafting now to schedule your free HR audit today. I want to talk about a very valuable tool that I use every single day in my business. It's called Text Expander. Now, your time is valuable. Don't spend it typing the same thing over and over. With Text Expander, you can use abbreviations to expand simple things like your phone number or address. I use that all the time. Or more complex things like forms with fill-in fields for email and message replies. Text Expander works on all of your computers, so you can expand snippets when you're in the office or working from home. Text Expander also hosts interesting webinars every month. You can sign up for their free Text Expander Beginner, Advanced, and Teams webinars to learn more about boosting your productivity. You can find out about all of these webinars at textexpander.com/webinar. Text Expander is available for macOS, Windows, Chrome, iPhone, and iPad. So pretty much anywhere you need to type something, you can use Text Expander. I've been using Text Expander for years. It has saved me time and attention over and over again. It can do the same for you. So visit textexpander.com/podcast to get 20% off of your free year. Just go to the dropdown and choose that you heard about Text Expander from the Productivities Podcast on that page. That's textexpander.com/podcast, and you'll get 20% off your first year. Believe you me, it's going to pay for itself in time and energy and attention over and over again. Give Text Expander a try. You won't regret it. I love it. I know you'll love it too. You've probably got a lot going on in your life right now. I know I do, but really the one thing that I strive to do on a consistent basis is to level up, is to take some time to learn something and expand my horizons and my skills in a variety of areas. And you can do that too with the UCI Division of Continuing Education. Now, the UCI Division of Continuing Education, they're not new to online education. They've been providing students with quality online courses for years. This is a really great time to take advantage of what UCI Division of Continuing Education has to offer. Courses and certifications in a wide range of categories, from business and leadership to IT, project management, law, human resources, and over 60 convenient certificates and specialized studies programs that are designed for the working professional. Online courses are taught by expert instructors with industry experience, and they offer flexibility and a real immersive online classroom experience where you can even collaborate with people just like you. Online courses allow busy working adults to take classes at their own time, and that's an amazing convenient factor. It's that flexibility I was just talking about. Now, continuing education is a great way to stay abreast of developments and best practices in your field, and when you start to take advantage of what the UCI Division of Continuing Education has to offer, you can advance your career in as little as 6 months. Now, spring quarter is now open, so I want you to enroll today. Visit ce.uci.edu/productivityist and enter the promo code TIMECRAFTING to get 15% off of one course. That's ce.uci.edu/productivityist and then enter the promo code TIMECRAFTING to get that 15% discount off of one course. Now, this discount is available for almost all of the certificate programs. There are a few exceptions, such as coding boot camps, international programs, teacher credentialing programs, and test prep courses. Those are the only exceptions. And this offer is only valid until July 31st, 2020 at 11:59 p.m. So take advantage of this offer that the UCI Division of Continuing Education is offering Productivities Podcast listeners today. Visit ce.uci.edu/productivityist, enter that promo code TIMECRAFTING, get that 15% discount today. And now let's get back to my conversation with Matt Ragland here on the Productivityist Podcast. All right, let's dig into the annual kind of stuff. Like, so we're talking about, like, we talk about day-to-day, we talk about, like, a lot of people by this time if they made New Year's resolutions, if they're still going right now, if they started their year in January, I don't start my year in January, mm-hmm. I start my year in September. But if you're still going strong at this time when this podcast airs, when you first are, when it first aired, congratulations, you are in a major
minority. Shout out to you.
Yeah, big, big. But you and I are in the same vantage point from this too. Resolutions, annual stuff. Like, what are your thoughts on that in terms of, you know, I'm that guy that loves monthly themes. You and I have talked about this before. Where do you stand on this front?
I do the same thing, and I just call them monthly milestones for alliteration effect. But I like to focus more on the like quarterly goals and objectives that I have. Part of that is just from the work that I've done like outside of all of this, which is with tech companies. I'm at a company called Podia now, and I was at one called ConvertKit beforehand. And at both companies, we used an idea of like quarterly goals, KPIs, OKRs. And so that kind of got baked into me a little bit. And what I like about this time of year, like you said, if you're listening and you're still like you still have any relative consistency to the resolutions and the goals that you set, then shout out to you. That is like, you're in the minority, and I encourage you to keep going with it. The thing that is nice about hitting this time of year, though, is that now we are like really that first quarter into the year. The first few months are past, and it's a really good time to kind of reorient yourself and refocus the goals, the resolutions, the objectives that you might have had for the year. And something that I recommend doing is just trying to chunk that down into like every 3 months or into those quarters, where every quarter you're kind of looking back and being like, okay, this is what I said was important at the beginning of the quarter. How did I do? What kind of progress have I made? Have things changed in my life, in my circumstances? And like, I experienced this in 2019 myself, because at the beginning of the year, I was still working at ConvertKit. And then in February, I made the transition to working at Podia. And so if I had set a big annual goal for what I was going to do at ConvertKit, then that would have been, that would have been shot
right
in April. And even, we had company goals and everything, and, you know, that isn't affected by my leaving, but like in the role that I had at ConvertKit, like I wanted to, one of my themes and goals for the year, was to like continue to kind of develop my analytical, like my data science chops and get better at that. And, you know, if I had been like, well, it's got to be, you know, that or nothing, and I'm going to be disappointed if I don't hit it, then that would have been tough, because that wasn't as much of a need for the role that I have at Podia. So, looking at things from a quarterly perspective and just giving yourself some time to reflect and refocus going into each new quarter is something that can really help keep you motivated, make sure that you're on the right path, and allow you to pivot if it's needed.
So what about smaller chunks, like in terms of daily planning and things like that? Do you like, how do you kind of organize your day in a way that promotes flow and keeps friction at bay? I mean, I know the bullet journal has some elements to it, but I mean, one of the things that's great about digital tools to a degree is you can say, okay, I'm going to focus on this type of activity or this type of modality, and you can click on it and it isolates it. So the filtration option is nice and digital. How do you kind of keep flow moving on by working through your day in a paper planning sort of way?
Right. So I do have sections for in each week and each month where I outline the goals that I have, say the milestones that I want to hit each month that is going to like bring me closer to that bigger quarterly goal. And then I just chunk that down even further into each week. Even though I've talked about quarters a lot and, you know, we've talked about months a little, I really kind of like all of my flow is really focused on a week to week basis. And I have a section for each week that says like, okay, what is the objective? What is the project that I need to work on this week that's going to help me hit that monthly milestone? And I just know that if I'm hitting the monthly milestone, then I'm going to be moving closer to the quarterly goal. So I'm not thinking about like, say, the month or the quarter as much when I'm in the week to week, because like, again, with that weekly review and preview, I'm kind of taking that, I'm zooming out, taking that big picture view. And then on a weekly and daily basis, I'm going into it and really trying to zoom in on what I need to do on this day and this week to move me closer. Now, from a digital perspective, a couple of ways, like you mentioned, environmental triggers as well, is something that I do try and practice every day, is not sleeping with my phone in my room, really not even sleeping with it in the same level of my house. Mm-hmm. I try and charge my phone upstairs. And I started putting like my journal and my book and a book for morning reading where I used to keep the phone.
Right.
And so that way when I go down and I make my coffee, then the thing that I have to kind of promote that flow and get my mind focused on the right things is I'll do just a little bit of journaling or review about what I have going on that day. Then, you know, my family gets up and that way I'm really hitting, that way I hit the like working time already having spent some focused, given some of my focused attention to the things I have to do that day.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's been a few months now, but I now charge my phone in my office down in the basement. I used to keep it. Mm-hmm. I went from charging it in my bedroom overnight and using Sleep Cycle as my alarm clock.
Yep.
To mm-hmm. moving it to the main charging area in our living room, where we've got like one of those, you know, multi chargers where you can have like four or five devices. To right. now to my office downstairs. So that way, first off, I have an alarm clock that is now one of those ones that has it's one of those Philips ones where the sun.
Oh, like, I do that too.
Yep. Because I'm a heavy sleeper, but I'm a night owl too. So mm-hmm. I need that I will wake up to the light of that right. bright, like 10, you know, as opposed to anything else. And I don't really need to track my sleep. We're going to get into tracking here in a minute, because I know you've got some tracking stuff that you take into account. Like the, you know, you've got, we'll link to the 5-day challenge and things like that. But then when I kept it in the charging station upstairs, if on a weekend, let's say I'm hanging out with my family, I have to go to my office to get my phone. So I'm hanging out with my kids and right. stuff in the morning. I'm still having my morning coffee and stuff. Whereas today, as we're recording this, yeah, I grabbed my coffee and went downstairs and sat in my office. And I think I've looked at it a couple times, but there's so many, like there's a book on, I have a chair that has a table attached to it. It's like, I bought it like an office supply store like a few years mm-hmm. ago, and it's got it's basically almost like a waiting room chair with like this, you know, if you were at a doctor's office and you had to fill out something, it's got like the thing attached to
right.
it. So I just mm-hmm. leave a book on there or something that I want to do that's very, it's not device intensive at all. And the change has been dramatic. And by making, the first change was challenging. And then the second change was almost immediate. Like, I'm like, oh, this is stupid right. to have this upstairs. Let's bring it downstairs. So, again, like that mm-hmm. intentional use of space and, you know, making sure that you put these friction points in play
right.
to build and develop new habits, I think is really key. And you talked about journaling, and I want to get to that now, because journaling is one of those things that I think is hugely beneficial to productivity. I know you believe the same. Ryan Holiday in his latest book, Stillness is the Key, has a chapter called Start Journaling.
Right. I saw that too.
Right. It's and, like, and I'm like, yay.
Yeah. Austin Kleon in his last yep. book, and Keep Going, he talks about journaling a lot as well.
Yep. I'll link to the episode that I had with Austin in the show notes as well.
Oh, nice.
Because we talked a bit about that and the idea of having portable routines and things like that. Mm-hmm. How do you journal? Because I think that, and I want to link to your journaling challenge as well, but how do you journal? Do you journal just in the morning? Do you journal in the evening? How does that look for you?
So I will journal both times most days. And I think the biggest thing for me is that when I go into the morning, usually the morning journal session is very brief because I don't normally have a lot of time in the morning. Now I still get up early, but I'm either like, I've either gotten up early because I have something very specific that I want to do, like for my side hustle, whether that's writing or like filming, editing a video, or I've gone to exercise. And so I'm still getting up relatively early, like comparative to my family, but I still am not like leaving a lot of time for say like for journaling. And so usually all I'm doing for the morning journal is say getting like literally getting out of my head, kind of like Dumbledore in like Harry Potter with I forget what the actual term is. I know someone will listen to it and know, but, you know, where he like pulls the thought out of his head. That's literally like what I kind of picture myself doing when I journal. And so I'll just try and get like, if there's something that's stressing me out or if there's something that's on my mind, I'll usually just spend like, I honestly only try and get like two or three sentences in, and even just like one line is fine with me. So to me, like, especially in the morning, the one thing that you're either excited about or worried about, that is the first thing that I'm writing down in my journal. And if it goes from there, then like, I'll just go with it. And then in the evening, I'm doing a little bit more like structured, like prompt based journaling that right. might be something like, you know, how did the day go? What were you excited about? What frustrated you? Is there something that you expected to be able to do but weren't able to? Were there times that you were distracted? Why was that? If you weren't able to do something that you wanted to, was like, what was kind of the motivation behind your procrastination? Are you afraid of something going poorly or even going well, and how you'll handle that and decisions you might have to make? So it's really like, I really treat my journaling as a brain dump. Like, it is, journaling is therapy for me. And I'm really not trying to like do anything super specific with it. And I know that might sound, again, kind of counterintuitive for people, but when I'm really just trying to use the journaling time to make sense of my day.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to say like, okay, I've got a journal. I think what does trip people up a lot is thinking that they have to like answer all these prompt questions, or they have to fill up, you know, an entire page. They have to do like any one of these things. They have to check a box. When it's like, my goal, and this has come up like more and more in my life over the past couple of years, is that if I see something that matters to me and I know it improves my life, my only goal is really just to be as consistent as I can with it. And I'm not trying to like, I'm really trying not to necessarily like achieve anything with it. I'm just trying to be consistent with it. Like, James Clear talks about this a lot with his systems versus goals.
Right. And he has the journal with Baron Fig. That's literally like the one sentence journal entry.
The one line journal. Yeah, exactly. And one thing that I heard James talk about a long time ago was that when he first started blogging, his goal, his system was to publish 2 articles a week, I think on like Tuesday and Friday. Mm-hmm. And the rule was that it didn't matter how long they were and it didn't matter how he felt about them. He just had to hit publish. And so like that kind of consistency, whether it is journaling or, you know, writing or exercise or like, you know, filming YouTube videos, whatever it is, I think that consistency of just continuing to do it has a whole lot of benefits, that if we can get over the mental crutch of like, what's this like, really, like what will other people think of this?
Yeah, exactly.
When they see it.
Yeah.
Is, and I actually get that question when it comes to journaling, is like, what do you journal? Like, what if someone finds it? Like, how do you write down personal things? So I was like, well, you know, I don't really care. And secondly, like, if like I'm having, you know, if I'm having questions or thoughts about like something that like I really wouldn't want people to read, then yeah, maybe I don't write that down.
Well, this is where an app can be helpful, because I use day one, and the only way that people can get into day one is with the password.
Right, exactly. So that can, and that's still really useful. Like,
absolutely.
if you have like, for anyone listening, like if you have something that you want to kind of like get out of your head and you like aren't really ready for people to possibly see it, then yeah, use something that's like, this is a perfect example of what to use an app for. Because I think like, just going back to the genesis of this, like journaling is therapy for me, and like journaling in the sense that we're talking about, like kind of dear diary, not bullet journaling.
Right.
But that journal keeping is therapy for me. And a lot of times I'll notice that when I just get something out of my head and onto the paper, then like there's a, like, you know, a mental weight that's really lifted off me.
Well, and for me, the other thing that is important. Like you mentioned the consistency part. One of the things I'll say to people is like, they'll say, I don't have time. What's the point? And I'll say, well, if you're on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that, and you spend time there, you're journaling for the world. And frankly, some of the things that you probably put out there would be better served to be in a journal instead, because it will, I mean, that way,
right.
You know, and I see it a lot. Like I see, and I'm sure you do too. It's like, oh man, that would have been probably better left unsaid or said in a journal.
Right.
But I mean, I do it both ways. I have day one, which is where I keep my daily journal, but I also keep a written journal for like those more profound, like thinking thoughts where I may not say something or reveal something that, if found, people are going to go, oh my goodness, I can't believe you said that. So that there's that safeguard there. If that's something that you're like, cause you know, I don't want to tick people off. I already said to my wife, who she's like, you know, I go, when you read this journal after I'm gone, like I'm going to be gone. So like, it's not like, I mean, at that point in time, I mean, when you think about it, and I know Ryan wrote about this in his book, I'm going to paraphrase it to a degree, but Marcus Aurelius's Meditations was not a book designed for publication.
No,
it was
no, it was his daily journal. Yeah, right. It was.
So there's a real power there. And I think what I love is that when you go to your website, the things that you and I think one of the things we're really on form with, and we'll kind of wrap up after this, is that we understand that productivity is a lifestyle and that you need to start small and get those wins and see that you need to be able to kind of remove the fog from it. So that way, you know, oh, this is why. Like there will be some aha moments along the way, because it's not a diet. It's not a quick fix. It's a lifestyle. And what you're offering through your work, through your videos, through the challenges you offer and through your writing is this clearing of the fog, so to speak.
Right. And I appreciate you saying that. It is like, I think, you know, just going back to the beginning of this and get your head out of your apps, is that for me, the way to clear the fog the fastest is with paper and pen. Mm-hmm. And when I can do that and I can be consistent with it, and like we've talked about, I mean, anytime you're trying to start something new, that small, consistent step is the most important one, and that can take a while, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because this is definitely the sort of thing that is worth it. And you mentioned, like, you know, if you're on Twitter and you're on Instagram, like I'm on those things too. I'm not sure. You know, hating on them to that extent, but I will say that, like, for anyone who's using an iPhone now that has an even, like, and it's that phone's iOS has been updated in the past year, you have a screen time setting in your iPhone settings now. So you can go in and see how much time you're spending on certain apps or groups of apps. And I would bet that, like, it's probably more than you would think. And I'm not necessarily saying like as a first step, you should limit your screen time, even though I do think that is a good step, but just kind of looking at thinking like, oh, wow, you know, I spend 30, 45, 60 minutes a day on social media or just on Instagram or just on Twitter. That is, if you say that you don't have time to journal or write these things down, that to me has always been a pretty clear, like, okay, well, you know, we could probably redirect some time here by limiting your screen time. And even though that is, you can override that at any time in the iPhone, like it might pop up and say like, hey, you've reached your screen time limit. You can be like, forget you for another 15 minutes or like for the entire day. But that to me, like, does give me a good initial like prompt of like, oh my gosh, I've already spent 15, 30 minutes on social media. I need to get a clamp on that for the day. And a lot of what I talk about too, and what we've been talking about, is just like raising an awareness of the time that we have and the things that we do with that time. And so I also have a time tracking challenge for 5 days, and it may sound like I've talked to a lot of people who say like, it sounds ridiculous to track your time, but if you say to yourself, like, I don't know if you've ever like hit the end of a day or a week, be like, I don't know where the time goes. I don't know, like, you know, what I've been doing for the past couple of days. Like, I know, like, in broad strokes, but if you have like a block of time that you want to redirect from like being relatively mindless, because if you can't really say like, this is what I've been doing for the past week in terms of my work and my life, then you, to an extent, we're a little bit on autopilot. And right. some of that is a necessity, but there's another part of that where, like, if there's something that you want to do a little bit differently, even in this small step that we've been talking about, with something creative or like a fitness, a health, or right, like any kind of like additional thing that you want to do. And like I said, this time of year is a good time to kind of look back, because I'm guessing a lot of people listening probably had like some kind of goal related to those things at the beginning of the year. And so probably what would be helpful is, instead of like trying to like, build up your willpower muscle more and more, which is probably what you've been trying to do for the past several months or years, is instead kind of redirect it and think about like, okay, what is the time, if I tracked my time and I saw what I was really spending my time on over this past week, how could I redirect and kind of block out some time that previously I was just kind of coasting through, and be really mindful and intentional with it?
Matt, this has been a great conversation. One more question. Do you use a paper wall calendar?
I do a little bit. Okay. So I have just a little Field Notes 2020 like workstation calendar, but I didn't really look at the dimensions when I bought it. it is quite small.
Yes. Yes, I've seen that, like, one. It's tiny.
Yeah, it's 5x7. So I just kind of use it I just write down a birthdays on it, and then I use it kind of like the Seinfeld method.
Don't break the chain.
Right. So I just like do my X's on that. But no, I haven't used a wall calendar, because like, again, I am using the bullet journal so much, because I will have like, I'll have a monthly layout and I'll just like write down big events there.
That's what I was going to say, is I think the bullet journal covers that for a lot of people too. Hey, Matt, this has been great. Where can people keep up with your work and, learn more about what you do on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, of course. So you can go to mattraglin.com. The best place to find consistent content from me is my YouTube channel, though. If you go to YouTube and type in just my name, Matt Ragland, I will be the first one to pop up. And really, I'm the top-rated Matt Ragland online.
It's nice to have that, isn't it? Like, Mike Vardy, it works out pretty well. And I'll link to that in the show notes as well, so that way you can just touch it, and then the searching just goes away. You just go and you see Matt's videos right out of the gate.
That's me.
Awesome, yeah. Matt. Thanks again for joining me today on the Productivities Podcast.
Thanks, Mike. It's a pleasure.